whosoever will, let him come.
You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study.
Come through the sun, come by Spirit.
Joshua chapter 2. We're reading through the Bible a chapter a day, or seven chapters a week, however you want to do it. And today we read Joshua chapter, say it real loud, seven. Anybody over here know which chapter we read today? This is the quiet side tonight. It's just like the quiet. This is like the charismatic side. This is the Baptist side over here. You're listening now. Oh, now you're participating. I insulted them. Joshua chapter 7, that's what we read today. Tomorrow will be Joshua chapter 8. By next Saturday will be Joshua chapter 14. I'll tell you right now, I never tell you about guest speakers. But next week, Saturday night, Dr. Andy Bannister, one of the speakers at Dig and Delve, is going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about Christianity, is it irrational? He's an expert in the Quran and the Bible, and he's got a bit of atheism thrown in there as well. Not that he's an atheist, he's not, but he's going to talk about Christianity in North American Western culture and how it is rational or not. Dr. Andy Bannister next week. Oh, don't miss. It's like my friend Jod Turpin says, if you're going to miss, miss tonight. It's a joke. Anyway, Joshua chapter 2, that's where we are tonight. Let's pray. Stop the jokes. Let's pray, and we'll dig in our text tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. Thank you that we can come anytime, any place, no matter what we've done right or wrong, and ask for anything in your name. Lord, and you'll hear us. Would you come tonight, bless us by your Spirit. Open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts to your word. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Joshua, the son of Nun, N-U-N, sent two men secretly from Shittim, also known as Acacia Grove, as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. Acacia Grove, this little bitty area right on the other side of the Jordan River from Jericho, getting ready to invade Canaan, Palestine, Israel. And notice how they were sent in secretly. There's this sense in the text that these two guys and Joshua were the only ones that knew about this mission. It wasn't broadcast to all the children of Israel. It wasn't say, we'll pick one guy from each tribe. No. Joshua pulled two guys aside, and he said, hey, I want you two guys to go and spy the land, especially Jericho. The reason they were going in was not whether or not to go into Canaan, but it was how are we going to go in to Canaan. Go check it out. Let's pick it up the middle of verse 1. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. It's a big mystery. Why did they end up at Rahab's house? The Bible is silent on the specifics. In recent years, people have questioned whether or not she really was a prostitute. It was Josephus, the Jewish historian, that wrote around the time of Jesus. He was the first one on record to say that, well, she really wasn't a prostitute. She really was an innkeeper. And then there's been scholars since then that have sort of picked up on that idea from Josephus and said, well, she probably wasn't a prostitute. She probably was an innkeeper. The problem with that, though, is the actual text. The actual text leads us to believe that she was actually a prostitute. In the Middle Eastern cultures, it's hard to believe that an innkeeper could be a young, unmarried woman with no children, running a house on the benefit of her dad, her mom, and her brothers and sisters. It's a little strange. Beyond that, in the New Testament, the Greek word in the Greek language is unequivocal. She was not an innkeeper. She was a prostitute. We know she was young. We know she was unmarried. She didn't have any kids. There's no husband listed. Until later on in the story, we'll find that she marries one of the Israelite men and is listed. Her name is listed in Matthew chapter 1 as being part of the ancestry of Jesus Christ. So she does get married and have children. So, why were they there? Now, we also know from Joshua chapter 6, verse 23, that the two spies were young men. Why were they there? I think we'll see it as we continue studying. But the story does not start out well for these two young men. And it's about to take a turn for the worse. Verse 2, and it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. Liar. She lied. She's not done lying. I do not know where the men went. Liar. Pursue them quickly, for you'll overtake them. Deceiver. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them in the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Bullface lie. Years ago, we have a little joke inside of our house, because years ago when Jen first moved to Florida, there was this little five-year-old boy that she had met, and when he didn't like what somebody was saying, he would say in this little hurt, angry voice, you lie, you lie, you lie, like this. He's just so upset. So when I read through this, I all I could hear in my head was, you lie, you lie. He did it all the time. I mean, every day, like 20 times a day, he would do that little bit. Anyway, Rahab lies, and not just lies to anybody. She lies to the authority, which for Christians is like, okay, number one, you lied. Number two, you deceived. And then number two, you lied to the authority. Oh, you're going down. You're going down. You're bad. You know, kind of thing. She gets away with it. The two guys, they don't stop her. They're hiding in her house on the roof. Let's just think about this for a second. For us, this is like two missionaries hiding in a massage parlor from the RCMP. You understand, right? You guys are in trouble. You're in big trouble. What in the world are you doing there? You know, kind of thing, right? This is a story that is going all wrong. Why are they at her house? Why does she endanger herself by lying for them? And here's the big question, where's the Lord in all this? Have they left the plan of God? Or are they, you know, how could the Lord lead? You know, all this guy, where's the Lord? Verse 8, before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof. Oh, and all the guys here in the room are like, well, this is trouble. This is trouble. But look what happens. And said to the men, I know that the Lord, the word right there for Lord in Hebrew is YHVH, it's Yahweh, it's Jehovah. I know that Yahweh, the Hebrew God, has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. That was 40 years before. and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted. And there was no spirit or no courage left in any man because of you. For the Lord, Yahweh, your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. That's quite a confession. And then she says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, the Apostle Paul tells us, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. This is what Rahab does right here. Rahab believes that the Lord, Yahweh, the Jewish God, the Hebrew God, He is God of heaven, He is God of earth, He's the one true God, and she believes this so much that she confesses freely to these two spies. And what's interesting here is that her belief, her faith, moves her not just to a confession, but to one step further, a covenant, an agreement. She says, verse 12, please swear to me by the Lord that just as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and save us alive. We want to live. She wants to survive this coming invasion, and she wants some assurances for her life and for the life of her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters, all who belong to them. This is faith. And this is faith seen by its actions. Rahab has great faith. As I mentioned earlier, she's mentioned in the New Testament a couple of times, and two of those times talk about her faith. Keep your finger here in Joshua and turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at verse 31. Hebrews 11, 31. Hebrews, famous chapter in the New Testament, is because it's the hall of faith. It's a chapter all about people in the Old Testament, listing them by name, and then briefly talking about their great faith and honoring them for their faith. And Rahab is in the chapter. She's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. She makes this list. There's a lot of guys that don't make the list. Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. These guys don't make the list by name. Rahab makes the list. Hebrews 11:31. Here's what we read. We read, by faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. The writer of Hebrews is saying what motivated all this action that Rahab took was her faith. She believed. She believed that Jericho was going to be conquered, all the people would be killed. She knew it, she believed it, and she prepared for it. What motivated her actions was faith. Now, James, a couple of pages over, James chapter 2. James mentions her as well. James chapter 2, verse 25. James talks about Rahab, and he talks about her faith, and he uses her as an illustration to point out that your faith has to have an action in order to be viable, in order for it to be real faith. It has to result in an outward action. And so James chapter 2, verse 25, he says about Rahab, he says, and in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works. In other words, her faith came out into an action when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. James even says that it was her faith that motivated her to lie and deceive. This, what he's saying is that the Bible holds that faith as more important than the lying and the deceiving. In fact, it says the motivation for the lying and the deceiving, her faith, was what was really counted. Fascinating. Does that mean that it's okay to lie and to deceive people? No, not at all. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. The Israelites were commanded in the law, you shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, that's deceiving, you shall not lie to one another. The New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians 4, verse 25 says this, therefore, having put away falsehood, that's deceiving, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. We live in the truth. We speak the truth. How does God feel about lying? Well, first, he doesn't lie. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says this, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? He doesn't lie. He tells the truth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 tells us how the Lord feels about lying, being deceptive. Proverbs 12, verse 22, it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So in no way is Rahab's lie and deception excused, nor are we ever to be required by God to lie or to deceive. We are to be people of the truth. Jesus is truth. And we're becoming like Jesus. That decision to tell the truth, to live in the truth, has consequences. We're not to be afraid of those consequences. It's going to cause some trouble. Sometimes those are consequences that we want to avoid, but that doesn't mean that we should avoid them. We are to share the truth in love, conditioned by love, but it's truth motivated by love. Love is the motivation for the truth. This is where we want to be. So telling the truth, living in the truth, requires faith in God for protection, for help, for assistance, for a different outcome. Rahab does not have that much faith, but she does have some faith. And I love how the Lord sees her faith and looks past all the lying and the deception, all the sin, and he just capitalizes on her faith. You and I, we see what's vile. And God says, oh no, I see what's good. I see faith. I see faith. Oh, it's all clouded by all this junk, but I see it. It's there. I love that he is the kind of person that does not break the reed that's bruised. He does not snuff out the wick that is smoldering. No, no, no. Love hopes all things, believes all things. This is the Lord. He capitalizes on her faith. Think about this for a minute. These two young men on a secret mission, they're supposed to be spies. But in this moment, they're not operating as spies. You know what they're operating as? Ambassadors. God's ambassadors. And they're there conducting business on behalf of God. They're there entering into an agreement, into a covenant with this young lady on God's behalf. They become ambassadors. They become their witnesses. They're making this agreement based on her faith that she'll be saved from the coming judgment. Look what happens, verse 15, back in Joshua chapter 2. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you. You guys go the opposite way. Jordan's over here. Don't go that way. Go this way back and hide in these hills, or the pursuers will encounter you and hide there 3 days. I don't have time to go into the 3 days, but 3 days is all through this story. Interesting. Until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Fascinating. One young lady's faith saved the entire house. Isn't that interesting? One daughter's faith was enough for her dad, her mom, her brothers, her sisters, and all their families. Isn't that interesting? And you shall gather into your house your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you've made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Incredible. Incredible. The last mention of a scarlet cord was on one of the twin sons of Tamar. Tamar, the first of four women listed in Jesus' ancestry in Matthew chapter 1. Rahab is the second. The scarlet cord, you can just see, hey, there's a little pattern here that God is doing. He's doing something here. This is clearly a parallel. It's clearly a type, a foreshadowing of a future event. We're here on the earth, and we are awaiting an invasion. It's an invasion of justice, led by a completely different Joshua. Say, Andy, what do you mean? Well, Joshua's name, it's two words. Yah is God. Shua is salvation. His name means God our salvation. Joshua, Yahshua. You say, Andy, that sounds like another name. Oh, yeah. The Greek form of that name is Jesus. It's another Yeshua. And Joshua, Jesus, is just on the other side of creation, camped out, waiting for the signal. It's go time. To come again, coming into the earth. He's coming to set up his kingdom. It will be a good kingdom. It will be a righteous kingdom. It will be the first non-corrupt government in the entire history of mankind. It's an invasion of justice, righteousness, of good, finally triumphing unequivocally over evil. Listen, we all agree we live in a corrupted world. Everybody agrees to that proposition. We all agree that the world and that the earth and that life is basically good, yet frustrated, corrupted, contaminated. And everyone is working on that contamination, that corruption, that frustration that is in life. We're all trying to minimize that and to eliminate that. No matter what religion you are, no matter what science you are, no matter what discipline you are, no matter your level of intelligence or your level of education, all of us are working on that problem. We may not agree on the source of the problem. We may not agree on the solution of the problem, but this is the problem. And the Bible calls that problem sin. We are so like Rahab, every one of us. You say, Andy, really? Oh, yeah. You say, but Andy, prostitution. And I say, yeah, it's sin. Just the same thing as greed is sin. A little more popular, a little more socially accepted. But one could easily argue the source of the problems in North America can be traced back to greed. Greed's a problem. Selfishness. gossip, slander, envy, jealousy, sexual immorality, pride, drunkenness, idolatry. It's all sin. We are all Rahab. All of us. The question is not how bad or how good we are. The question that the Bible poses is how much faith we have. How much faith we have in Jesus. Whether we believe judgment is coming, truth is coming, light is coming into the world. Jesus is coming. Which side will you stand on? If you wait for the invasion, it's too late. You say, Andy, Jesus made that promise like what, 2,000 years ago? 1982 years. Last April. He made that promise. Yes, it was a long time ago. You say, Andy, are you sure he's coming back? All I can tell you is he's patient. He's long-suffering, and he's kind. And heaven must be beautiful. Listen, Rahab here says, we heard about how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. That was 40 years before. It was only 66 years ago that the Israelites formally moved back into the land of Canaan, also known as Palestine, now known as Israel. And they formed a nation that is recognized around the world, the State of Israel. It was 47 years ago that Jerusalem came back under Jewish rule. So what's the big deal with that? Well, Jesus prophesied in Luke chapter 21 that Jerusalem would be under the control of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What's the point? He's gracious, he's long-suffering, but he is coming soon. He's just on the outside of creation waiting for the signal. It's go time. Rahab here has the good sense to secure her future and the future of her entire family by entering into a covenant, an agreement with Yeshua's people, Joshua's people. How do you enter into an agreement with Jesus? Well, the same way Rahab did, by faith. By faith that comes into a confession. God has given Joshua the land, and the Lord is God in heaven and earth below. And she took action, securing the covenant by a sign, the scarlet cord in the window. In the New Testament, it's similar. Jesus said, pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to come upon the earth. We don't hang a scarlet cord in the window. In the New Testament, the sign is water baptism. That's the sign. That's the scarlet cord. It's that person that has believed in Jesus Christ, has confessed him as Savior and his Lord, believes in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his coming again. And they've repented of their sins, their old life. They're saying, listen, I know this whole thing is going to be destroyed. I don't even care about this anymore. I want to enter into a new life and a new culture and a new way of life. I want to be saved from all this. You can take it all. I want to start over. And the sign of that, the action taken by faith is the confession, the prayer, the confession, and then water baptism. Right up there. We try to make it as warm as possible. Okay, Peter tries to make it as warm as possible. The story finishes in verse 22. Here's what it says. They departed, went into the hills, and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned, and the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. Listen. I'll tell you why I think they ended up at Rahab's house. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him, those whose heart is turned towards the Lord, he wants to show up on their behalf. That's why I think they ended up at Rahab's house. What do you mean? Rahab's heart was turned towards the Lord. The Bible doesn't tell us the specifics, how the two young men got there, but I would say God knew his heart, her heart was turned towards him. And so he made it work out. And the way that he makes things work out, he made it work out so that they would be there. Just the same way that Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, his heart was turned towards the Lord. And God moved Peter to go visit Cornelius. Just the same way that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, his heart was turned towards the Lord. And God moved on the heart of Ananias to come and see him, offering him hope. Sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, securing the future of himself, his whole family. Why Rahab's house? The Lord led them there. Out of all the people in Jericho, God knew her heart turned towards me. A couple closing comments of this text for Christians. First, they were two witnesses. Nobody going alone to the massage parlor. Two of them. Two of them. Didn't go alone. Second thing, they were young. We don't know their names. The Lord loves to use people that others would pass over. He likes to take people that are just regular, ordinary people, hearts turned towards the Lord, open to what he wants to do and what he wants to say. He wants to use him. Others may not know your name. I may not know your name. I may not remember your name. Good chance I don't remember your name. But Jesus does. Next thing I noticed here is that they were on a secret mission. The Lord may want to invite you and your friend on a secret mission. He didn't invite the whole church. He didn't invite your whole house. He didn't invite your whole neighborhood. He invited you and your friend. Just lay it on your heart. Listen, he turned a whole battle around because of Jonathan and his armor bearer. Two guys. He can do the same with you if you're open to what he wants to do, what he wants to say. Listen, if he lays something on your heart, it's a mission. Can't find anybody else to go with you, but you got this one person. Oh, this one person will go with me. Man, go for it. You may live out a Jesus adventure. You may see something miraculous happen. You walk away and go, man, who are we to get to see that? I can't wait to get back to Calvary. I'm going to be the first one with my hand up going, you're never going to believe this, guys. We went here and we went there, and the whole church is like, you went where? I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying you need to listen to Jesus. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Lastly, be open to the leading of the Spirit. He knows whose hearts are turned towards him. Man judges by the outward appearance, the Lord judges by the heart. Peter sent to the Roman centurion, a Gentile. Philip sent to the Ethiopian eunuch, completely different culture. Ananias sent to Saul of Tarsus, somebody he never would have picked, never would have thought, never would have imagined that God was moving in his heart. Never would have imagined. These two young men were sent to Rahab's house, someone that they would not naturally pick, someone that their parents may not have wanted them to be associated with. Listen, be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're all like Rahab, and God loves Rahab. And he sees her faith. And that faith is what brought her into the story of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story. Thank you that it's real and that it's true. You're not ashamed of Rahab at all, Lord. You have honored her. And Lord, you're challenging us afresh to be open to all kinds of people. Lord, and being your ambassadors. Father, thank you for the people that came and talked to us, shared the truth with us, loved us enough to show us the agreement that you wanted to make with us. Father, may we have that same boldness. May we have that same courage. May we have that same opportunity, Lord, with somebody else. And Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that hasn't entered into an agreement with you, confess their sins, recognize that you are the Savior, but you're also the Lord, and you're coming soon. Father, I pray that they would do that tonight. Get things right with you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, come to the Father. Come through the Son. Come by Spirit. Find freedom.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Won't you come to the Father? Come through the Son. Come by Spirit. Find, oh, come to the Father. Come through the Son. Come by Spirit. Come find acceptance. Whosoever